It's my good fortune to have in the studio with me, Andrew Taylor, who is one of the partners of Big Tree Hospitality. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And the reason that you were nice enough to come in is that we're very excited that you were named a James Beard Award winner just recently.
Yep, we took home the award for Best Chef Northeast, myself and Mike Wiley, the co-chef and one of the other owners of Eventide, Hugo's and the Honey Paw, Big Tree Hospitality. So, yeah, we're thrilled.
So I know a lot of people know about you as that guy who's part of the big three with Big Tree. But I guess I'm kind of interested in about you as the guy before that, or sort of in the middle of that. You were raised in Cape Cod?
I spent a lot of time on Cape Cod, but raised in the Boston area, Newton, Massachusetts. But yeah, I spent a lot of time on the summers at my grandparents' house on the Cape. I would say if there was a genesis of my culinary career, it would probably be there and doing a lot of, spent most of the time fishing and digging clams and catching crabs and stuff like that. So
growing up in Newton, your father, from what I understand, is an attorney.
Yep.
Who right. Once said to you something like, you should do something with your hands, and you thought maybe he actually meant like orthopedic surgery.
Well, so that was, I went to Bates College in Lewiston, Maine, and sort of graduated with not the most distinguished record there, and sort of academics was not necessarily my thing, and I hadn't really found a path, didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, and I specifically recall being on an airplane with him. I think it might have even been after my grandfather's passing. On the way back, and he asked me what he thought I would do, or what I thought I would do, and I said, I don't know, I'll thinking about taking the LSATs and applying to law school, and he said, sort of shook his head and said, don't do that, I don't think you'll like that career, and sort of pushed me to do something with my hands, and wow, I think he probably had in mind, orthopedic surgery or, sports medicine or something like that. I took it as sort of what I needed to hear to pursue my passion and do what I wanted to do, and sort of being an attorney sort of runs in the family. So I was, after that, I was like, okay, I can sort of break that trend.
So what was it that he thought about the profession he actually chose that he didn't think would match well with you?
Well, that's not necessarily to speak poorly of being an attorney, because I think he really enjoyed it and he really enjoys aspects of it. I think, the law is quite fascinating, even to me now, still, and I would have enjoyed aspects of it myself, but I think he knew that I was restless in nature and wouldn't enjoy sitting behind a desk and pawing through, 80 page legal documents and writing up legal agreements and so on and so forth, and I think that's part of the job that he probably wasn't his favorite part either, and he knew, he saw in me that I had more of that side of him than any other. So I think, and he was right on, and I've thanked him many times for steering me away from it, even if he partially denies it still.
It is really important sometimes to get that kind of permission. If you have in your family a bunch of attorneys, for somebody to say, you don't have to do this, you could do something else.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think there's a certain familial expectation to pursue sort of a more traditional career. I think I sort of felt that, and not only familial, but also from my peers. I went to sort of a well-heeled high school in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and then to Bates College, and while all my friends were getting jobs in, financial companies or law school or business school, I, you know, certainly felt an expectation or a bit of a pressure to do so myself, and it was reassuring to hear that that wasn't entirely important, or that I could do something that I enjoyed.
Why economics?
Ran in the family. just like being an attorney, being an economics major in college was, you know, my brother, my grandfather, my father, my uncle, yeah, sort of ran in the family. It was easy for me, honestly. Yeah, mathematics was one of the few things in school that I did well in, so.
I read a piece that someone had written about foraging, and you talked about it. You talked about kind of wandering around as a child on the shores of Cape Cod and digging up clams. And talk to me about some of your early memories of I don't know, getting your hands dirty that way.
Yeah, tide pools were always fascinating for me. Picking periwinkles and you know, seaweeds and starfish and sea anemones, and just being fascinated by that. And I think that probably was perhaps the genesis of it. And then, yeah, fishing. I grew up near a lake, and me and my sort of four elementary school, you know, kindergarten through sixth grade friends, best friends, we used to just disappear from our houses and meet at the lake and fish virtually every day, oftentimes before sunrise. And my parents would wake up and be like, where the hell did he go? So, you know, those types of activities, outdoors, having to do with, catching or finding food sources was always fascinating to me.
How did you end up over on the West Coast?
Well, I graduated from Bates, and after this is having gotten this advice from my father, I sort of kind of kicked around for a summer in the Boston area. And then my future wife, Rachel, and I basically got in a car, packed it up, and drove around the country for 2 months, ostensibly to find out where we would live next. And, you know, we hit up all sort of the major cities in the South. Almost New Orleans was number two on the list. We almost moved there instead. But Seattle was the place we felt like, you know, would be the spot for us. I really, sort of knowing at that point that I wanted to get into cooking, I really wanted to, like, work with seafood and a different type of seafood. So That was probably one of the reasons we picked Seattle. We wanted to be on the West Coast, so we came back, you know, worked for another few months, made up enough money to just move out there, got in the car again, and drove across country. And we had no jobs, no place to stay, no friends out there, but we made it work pretty quickly. So,
and somehow you ended up working in a pretty well-regarded establishment.
Yeah, within a couple days of being there, I was, I had enrolled myself in a couple culinary classes, and I think that got me into at least into a kitchen, got a job as a prep cook at a sort of a fancy steakhouse. And then with the rest of my time, I just walked in the back door of the best French restaurant in town and said, I'm going to spend whatever free hours I have here. And I will work for free, whatever you don't have to pay me. And so I did everything there from peeling shallots and garlic to breaking down Dungeness crab, and just did that all my own time, showed up whenever I could. And it was a small kitchen, one where the personnel didn't change very frequently, but finally job did come up, and, you know, my persistence and hard work paid off, and I got a job there. And that was really sort of just an incredible place to learn, because they did everything from scratch. They processed, you know, everything under the sun, and you just learned the right way to do everything, and at least in the French style. So Terry Rottero was the chef there, and he was just an incredible mentor for me at that time.
You also spent time working with Ken Oringer.
Yep. Clio, which was then, so coming from a very, like, traditional French place to this sort of, like, sort of high-minded, conceptual, French, Asian, sort of fusion-y place, was just an it was quite a shock to me, but it was unbelievable. I was just being exposed to all sorts of ingredients and techniques that I had no idea what I was getting into, I think, at first. But really, really loved my time there. And Ken still is just, again, such an incredible example for me on how to expand, how to run restaurants, how to expand responsibly, and we keep in touch to this day, and he's been an amazing example.
You got to know Arlen pretty early on in this whole process. You've really been together with him from the very beginning.
Yeah, from the day I started Hugo's in 2009, I think, and he started like a month before me. I started as the sous chef under Rob Evans, and yeah, we sort of effectively ran Hugo's for several years prior to owning it, and we just developed a really great relationship, really great working relationship in particular, it's just been it's been a great pairing, so. And I knew that he, when it sort of came up to potentially buy Hugo's, I knew I needed his skills. And I think he knew he needed my skills, and we both needed Mike's skills. So that was sort of the genesis of it. But I knew I couldn't run a restaurant or open a restaurant by myself, and needed somebody to, particularly with his skills, the firm in the house, taken care of. So.
In the midst of all this, you have gotten married and had three children in rapid succession. At least I consider them relatively rapid succession.
Yeah,
you now have three boys under the age of five.
This is true.
And
this is true.
You've really been doing this yourself, this whole restaurant ownership thing, for about 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Lincoln, our firstborn, was born 2 weeks before we opened Eventide. Like a month and a half, 2 months after we bought Hugo's, and it has been, there's been several times when I've sort of tried to persuade Mike and Arlen to open another restaurant or expand or do something, and they're like, I don't know, not right now, and I'm like, Rachel's pregnant, we're having another kid, we need another restaurant. So it's been, they constantly make fun of me, we're opening a fourth restaurant, and they're like, don't do it, don't have another kid. Which won't be a problem. I hope. No, it's been amazing. It's been a lot, obviously, but I've always been one to sort of pile it on and just take on as much as I possibly can. And the three boys are all healthy and wonderful, and I've got the most supportive wife, and Rachel's just been unbelievable in understanding what it takes to run a growing and expanding business, and the responsibilities that entails. And yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Do your boys also share your interest in things like fishing and being outside?
Getting there. I did come home yesterday, and they both had aprons on, and we're making cookies with the two older ones. Anyways, we're making cookies with Rachel, and it was a pretty charming little moment to walk into. I surprised them a little early, but yeah, I'm gonna get I'm working on the fishing thing, so.
You've got the cooking piece.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Now you're gonna worry.
Yeah.
What do you like to do when you're not in the kitchen, or in the business? I guess I should say.
I would say I go back to those activities that I really enjoy. I mean, foraging, fishing. Just being outdoors, hiking, camping, just, the stuff that I moved to Maine for. I love being in Maine for. I don't get to do nearly as much of it as I would like, but that day will come, I'm sure.
In the early summer, what are you foraging for?
Ramps. Trying to find a time to take a trip real soon here so I can go forage some ramps, but... there's also morels right now, but they're pretty spotty, and then it really then Chanterelle and Black Trumpet season kicks off in sort of July and August. So,
what about sea vegetables?
Sea vegetables. We did quite a bit of that in previous years, not as much anymore. We actually had a little skiff that I used to run around to the islands of Casco Bay and sort of pick, you know, sea lettuce and kelp and laver and but yeah, I haven't done as much of that as I'd like to.
And that's mostly just a time thing at this point.
Mostly just a time thing, yeah, exactly. So
how... I know that there are some people whose lives are pretty straightforward from a work standpoint. They're, you know, start at roughly 8 o'clock, end at roughly 5 o'clock. And then the evenings and the weekends are mostly your own. And then there seem to be people who own their own businesses, for example, mm-hmm. and have children. These are people whose the work life and the non-work life really are, they just overlap a lot. How has that been for you?
Yeah, it's been a challenge for sure. There is no schedule. There is no routine for me, which is always been a bit of a challenge. And so you find yourself just trying to, you know, beg, borrow, and steal moments or time to have the kids in the restaurant or get home early one night. And it could be a Friday night, it could be a Wednesday afternoon, it could be this or that, and it's just trying to juggle the schedule. And it's been a real challenge, but you know, and we'll see. I'm always hopeful that it will get a little simpler, and a routine will develop, but I don't know. I'm not holding out any hope either.
Now that you're opening a restaurant in Boston, will this bring you back kind of to your family roots?
Definitely. That was a big part of wanting to be in Boston. I love Boston. We did some pop-ups down in Boston last summer, and particularly the first one was, I knew almost everybody that came in. It was just all family and friends. So really excited to be down there with that group of people. And Fenway, we're opening right next to Fenway Park. That was pretty important to me back in the time, sort of my college years and just post college. I had a friend that got a job in the ticket office, and so used to go to 30-40 games a year and just be there all the time. And so it's just gonna be wonderful to be back in that area. And there's definitely, I'm glad I don't live there. I'm really happy to be in Maine, and I consider really Maine my home now. But it is fun to feel the energy of Boston and be in the city.
You live with your family in Cumberland now.
Yep.
Am I allowed to say that?
Oh yeah, it's fine.
Nobody's gonna come show up at your door or anything.
No. I doubt it.
Which has a great school system. It's a wonderful suburb of Portland. It's really evolved mm-hmm. over time. It's a really different type of community from the Portland scene. As your kids are getting older, are you finding yourself more involved in the Cumberland community as well?
I just did a speech at the Cumberland Elks Club, and it was great to be meet some people in the community. But it's funny, I was a ghost in Cumberland for the first 4 or 5 years I lived there, honestly. I didn't know most of my neighbors even. I was gone early, came back in the middle of the night. My wife's friends joked that, do you really have a husband? I see pictures, but sort of, does this guy really exist? But I found myself spending a little bit more time. And I think once my eldest goes to kindergarten, I think that also sort of forces you into the community a little bit more. I look forward to that. I hope to be coaching his little league team and really being a part of it moving forward here. So yeah, it's a great town, great place to live. We're really excited about sending our kids through the school systems there.
Did you play baseball when you were growing up?
I did. Yeah.
Did you do little league?
Oh, I did little league. Yeah.
So that's like a 10-year process.
Oh, I know. I can't imagine having three kids in different little league divisions, and it's going to be chaos.
Yeah, you could be doing this for a really long time, this little league coaching
thing. It'll be a new career.
Exactly. Any thoughts on the James Beard Award?
It's just a gratifying, really proud moment for our whole restaurant group and everybody involved in it. I don't think, while the award technically has Mike and I's name on it, it is really an award for everybody. We've had so many people there from day one who have helped this restaurant succeed. And, really, I think we've really tried to make everybody vested in the business. And not just Eventide. I mean, technically it also says Eventide on it, but I think of it more as sort of a cumulative award to your restaurant group's accomplishment. So I include Hugo's and Honeypaw in that conversation just equally. But yeah, we really try to make everybody vested in it, and everybody comes with ideas every single day. Mike and I don't run the show. We just we listen to our managers and let them make decisions on what they think the best course of action is, with whether it be with the the food, the menu, the service staff, hiring, everything, directional changes. So we are we're really just super proud of the whole group. We were able to take three of our sort of day one members to Chicago this year to celebrate. Well, we didn't know it would be a celebration, but it was just so much fun having their energy in Chicago to be with us, and to be able to share it with them was phenomenal.
I've been speaking with Andrew Taylor, who is one of the partners in Big Tree Hospitality and recent James Beard Award winner. I really appreciate your taking the time out of your day to do this.
Absolutely.
And I give you a lot of credit for doing all the work that you're doing, not only as a restaurateur, but also as a father of three. Good job.
I appreciate it. It's been a grind, but it's been amazing. I love it. Wouldn't do anything else.